Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 320 of the Keep Moving Forward podcast with me, your host, Anthony DiDomenico, coming to you every week on anchor.fm/KMF podcast. As always, though, the podcast is available on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, that's where it's available. If you like the video option, though, Spotify is the place to go. And on all these platforms, please, 5-star rate and review. Past bonus episodes are available on Patreon, patreon.com/KMF podcast. Built Bar has got some things going on. If you like peanut butter and puff and all that jazz, head over to builtbar.com. Use code WWBROPODCAST. Save yourself 10% off your order. Same thing with Sail Away Coffee, sailawaycoffee.com. Use code WWBRO10 to save 10% of the best nitro brew out there. Long Island Company ships nationwide. Go check them out. My good buddy John Ziegler's comedy special is available on YouTube. It's called John Ziegler Getting My Affairs in Order. Also, go give him a follow on Instagram at John Ziegler Comedy. And while we're speaking of comedy, before we get into everything, really, I celebrated yesterday, March 31st. I celebrated my 14th comedy anniversary. Right, March 31st, 2010, I stepped on stage for the first time and told jokes in front of an audience. It's crazy how much time has gone by, how fast it went by, and how it doesn't seem like a long time. I don't know. It's like a lot of emotions going on. You know, comedy's not what it once was for me. I don't perform nearly as much as I used to. I miss it. I still love it. I just don't have that, I don't know. I don't have that drive for it like I used to. I guess I can say that about a lot of things in my life right now, but I still love to perform. I still love performing with my friends and having a good time. And I think I had a good run as far as like when I put over 10 years. Had a couple of things that just didn't come through. And I don't look back at it as anything bad. It was a gamble. I took a gamble and, you know, not everything shakes out the way you want it to. But I look at it as a very positive thing. I'm not going to be negative about it like I am about most things. No, I'm not going to be negative. I'm going to be positive. I look back. One, to even get on stage and attempt to tell jokes in front of people is most people's like fear. And to me, it was like a bucket list thing, what I wanted to do. Ever since I was a kid, I wanted to make people laugh. I wanted to get on a stage and make people laugh. I used to watch comedy specials with my parents, and I wanted to do what that comedian was doing. When I was a kid, I saw this movie Roxanne with Steve Martin. There was a scene, they're in a bar, and Steve Martin has to come up with 20. He has to come up with 20 better Big Nose jokes than the guy who said called him Big Nose. And that resonated with me because being a bigger kid, you know, right away, the kids want to call you fat boy or that. And you know what? Be original. Let's be. And then I remember, like, as a kid, going back at people and developing a sharp tongue then and a good comeback because I would beat them to the punch or I would just, you know, say something better. So, you know, always wanting to be on stage, I just never knew how to start it, do it, get involved with it. And it wasn't until like my mom passed away, I started like thinking like life is really short. If I want to do something, try it. Remember, I texted my dad that I wanted to try stand-up comedy, and he was like, better you than me. And I don't believe anybody really thought I was going to do it or that it was going to go well. My brother was like, you know, you got to be funny to be a comedian. And I'm like, I am funny. I can be funny. So this is how crazy, how long ago this was. I was engaged and living with my fiance at the time. And I remember she was very supportive about this. And if I have one thing that I'll always thank her for, because the relationship was the pits, and she did me wrong in a lot of ways. But we're not here to bash her. We're here to talk about the positive things. One thing I'll always thank her for, and I've told her this. I said, you were the one that pushed me to do comedy. And you got to be grateful. You know, even a broken clock is wrong twice a day. And like when I said I wanted to try it, she went out and got me like a special pen to write with, a notebook to like make it like a thing. And I started writing jokes. And I signed up for the mic at Governor's Comedy Club in Levittown. Had no idea what it was going to be. I got on stage. I did my first joke was about watching WrestleMania at my friend's, and I did John Cena's theme song, and I danced across the stage. And then like I was getting into my act, and I got heckled. Somebody heckled me, and again, it was the weight thing. And I just turned to this guy, and I don't even know. I just unloaded on him without even thinking. And it was just self-defense. I was just used to it. And then I told some more jokes, and I thought it went well. And I was something I thought maybe was a one-off. I was bitten by like the comedy bug that night, and I knew that it was a thing that I had to do again. I never felt as much at home and comfortable and like belonging somewhere that I did when I was on stage or even when I'm on stage. In real situations and social situations, I usually feel like an outcast. That I don't belong. I'm awkward. I don't know what to talk about. But put me in a comedy setting, in a green room. That's where I'm supposed to be. Just give me a microphone. This is why I think people like this podcast so much. Or you listen to the podcast, and I hope you like it so much. I'm just kind of being like presumptuous there. But I think people gravitate towards it who listen because I'm comfortable here. I'm real. I say things that I sometimes shouldn't say on here because it's very personal and very, you know, close to the vest. But that's how I feel with the microphone in front of me. I don't feel like there's any barriers or anything. And radio actually was my first love. I did radio probably almost 10 years before I did comedy. So just looking back on the 14 years of comedy, it's been an amazing ride. I've gotten to work with very famous people, the people that no one knows. And I treasure both of those experiences. You know, I think some of the best comedy shows you'll ever see is comedians you never heard of. And that aren't, you know, household names. I've met so many amazing friends, like John Ziegler, who we were talking about before, Brian McKenna, Dan Barry, Ryan Maher. You know, these are people that I never would have really met if it wasn't through comedy, and I never would be friends with them. Especially McKenna. I don't think there's any way he'd be friends with me in real life. But seriously, and then just getting to work with a lot of famous people that you grew up watching on television and then, you know, seeing the movies, and it's been fun. It's been a blast, and I hope it continues, and I want it to continue, and we'll see what this year brings. But 14 years is a good amount of time. And it was a nice little thing to see yesterday. Well, I know it, but like I acknowledged it on Instagram and I said it like at the dinner table. And my niece Liddy goes, "Happy anniversary, Uncle Cheese." I said, "Well, thank you, Liddy." And she goes, "How come your anniversary is on Easter?" I go, "Well, I didn't pick Easter. Sometimes it falls on it." Yeah, Easter was early this year. It was yesterday, March 31st, same day as my comedy anniversary. And went with my brothers, hung out. We had a great time. Weather was awesome, so we got to sit outside and watch the Yankee game, have some apps, some cigars. I even had a beer, letting loose. Just a good day, good Sunday. And I'm looking forward to more of these Sundays. But Easter is one of my favorite holidays, actually, because it's, you know, it's one of those days where you hang out with the family and you celebrate family. And I'm not religious, so I don't really celebrate the religious aspect of it. But it's a tradition, and it's a day with the family. And it's not one of those holidays where you got to go out and buy things. And I mean, they do. I guess they do commercialize it a little bit with the Easter Bunny and candy. But I'm just saying, as far as like with my family, it's not like it's Christmas and they're shoving it down your throat. And it's like they don't start like putting things out for it like 7 months before. It's always been one of my favorite days. And I got my piece of Pizza Rustica, the Easter pizza, as they call it. And if you never had Pizza Rustica, it's absolutely amazing. My mother taught my father and my sister-in-law how to make it when she was sick. And they mastered it. It tastes just like my mom's. And it's just that nice thing to have, that reminder. You know, a little piece. A little piece of my mom at the holidays. And it's a good day. You know, the kids were all over the place. Like my niece ate like 8 million things of candy, but then the boys were playing basketball and video games and this and that. My niece Lydia, she knows I like Reese's, and she brought me every single Reese's she has. She's not a big peanut butter girl, and she knows that Uncle Cheese loves peanut butter, chocolate and peanut butter, and kept him fed in Reese's yesterday. So we'll get it in while we can. Because as we talked about last week, I'm contemplating the weight loss medication. I have made an appointment with my doctor. So I'll talk about more when that happens. We're going to go talk about it, have a discussion, a conversation. So it's in the works. And I feel good about it, especially talking about it last week and then just seeing. It seems like everybody's on it. I look at Instagram and I go on, you know, TikTok, and I think everybody's on it. I think I'm the last one who's not on it. So I'm late to the party. I want to join the summer glutide party. Summer glutides in the summer. I know I'm saying it wrong, but it's a callback to a previous show. Anyway. I'm definitely leaning towards that method. And like I said, I just got to have a conversation with the doctor and see what's covered in insurance. And I'm hoping to, by the end of this month, I already started on that journey. So we'll see. I'm a procrastinator by nature, and I will push things off as far as possible if I can. So I have to push myself not to do that with this, because again, it is something I want to get started. I I'm done. I really am. I'm done. And I need that jump start, that boost. Yeah, I felt it. Like I drove this weekend. Also, I did a lot of ride share. I was tired, man. I was just tired. And I'm like, I need to just be in better shape all around. I need to just feel better. I did 4 hours on Saturday night. I drove almost 5 hours. I guess it's technically 5 hours, but drive time was four. 10 o'clock to 3 a.m. That's when I got home at 3 a.m. 9 rides, no tips. Do you guys, when you do rides, do you tip your drivers? I mean, I always do. I didn't get one tip. I drove today for like 2 hours. I got two tips. They beat out Monday night. My Monday night, in and out. Beat out Saturday night. I don't get it. I do not get it. But here's something that interesting that happened Saturday night that I wanted to talk about. And this is how you get a one star in the Rock Creek. This is a fast track to a one star in the Rock Creek. So I picked up a man and a woman at a train station. They were not a couple. And he was talking about women in their friends group. And they had brought this woman up, another woman up. And his first thing was like, but she's heavy. And then, so that bothered me because I'm sitting there as a big guy in the car. And when this poor girl, like, is that friends talk about her behind her back? And then he said the things that, you know, I've heard as a man many times, and I'm sure women have heard them. Anybody who's overweight has heard these expressions many times, and it does not, believe me, when you say these things to a heavy person, it does not make them feel happy or good about themselves. Like, oh, but she's got a great personality. Great personality. And she's just, you know, great. What a nice face. What a pretty face. What a good looking face. What does that mean? So the rest of the person is just garbage? They got a nice looking face? No, they're a nice looking person. They're an attractive person. Weight has nothing to do with attractiveness. I got news for you. And if they have a good personality, they got a nice face, what's wrong with them? I mean, give them a shot. And I was just sitting there and I was like holding my tongue because I'm like, Anthony, don't start. Do not. I should have. You know, I want to be like, well, can you give me this girl's number? Because I'll talk to her. Did she say she sounds awesome? Sounds like my type, actually. And when I dropped him off, he got a one star for being a dick. And I'm sorry for saying that on here, but whatever. He was a dick. I've been told many times by women that I have such a handsome face. If only I lost weight because I have such a handsome face. Nice, such a nice guy. If only he lost some weight. And that's what they were both kind of saying that in the car, and I was just not having it. I was fuming. You know, it's funny, we've come so far with things in this, you know, in this day and age, and people accepting a lot of things. But sometimes, you know, you can't see past a number on a scale and see a person for who they are. So that bothered me. It bothers me now because, like, you know, it's like, you know, you judged on it. And it's one of the reasons I got out of the dating apps too, because like you got to put a picture that's like, having a breakdown of a picture you're putting up on the internet, because you don't want to show that, but you don't want to lie to people. I don't know. If I could have taken that guy out of the car on Saturday, I would have, and showed him some personality. Like Frankie Carbone and Goodfellas. Me and a kid personality, yeah. Personality. Me and a kid personality. That just bothers me. It does. It's dumb and stupid, and that's how they think, and whatever, that's fine. Other than that, I made some money. It was the week was okay. Yankees are back, which is exciting. I love that baseball's back. Yankees swept the Astros 4-0. I hate the Astros. Hate the Astros. Hate the Astros. The whole cheating scandal, everything else. And I always like baseball. To me, it's romanticized. It really is. It's different than the other sports. I'm sorry. It really is. To me, it encompasses like my childhood. You know, being outside, having a catch with my dad, my brother. Like just the whole thing about going to games together, playing baseball, playing little league, it just means a lot. So baseball to me is very romanticized in that aspect. It's more than just a game. It's, it's my childhood, and I'm not ready to give that up. I'm happy it's back. And speaking of childhood, WrestleMania is this weekend. I'm watching night one with my nephews. I don't know if Rocco is really going to be into it, but Lucas said he is. And I said to him on Easter, I said, buddy, do you really want to watch WrestleMania on Saturday? He said, yes. I said, okay. So I'm going to, now that's my plan. I said, do you know what this means to Uncle Cheese? Do you know how seriously I take this? He says he does, and he wants to watch it. So I let my brother know I'll be over for WrestleMania. Night one, of course, only because night two goes to midnight. They have school the next day. I'll figure that out. I'll have my own night two. But night one, I'm going to watch with him, and I'm excited about that because he's getting back into wrestling again. I was showing him some clips. I hope he watches it. I hope people are into it. I mean, because I'll be sitting there. It's my plans. I know people, don't think it's that big of a deal, but it's a big deal. It is a really big deal, WrestleMania, for me. Again, childhood. It's a piece of my childhood. Hold on to those things. There's not really much to segue into this. But it's something I wanted to talk about. Really sad news last week. Officer Jonathan Diller was murdered in the line of duty last week in Queens. He was shot by a human piece of garbage. There's no other way to put it. This guy had 21 prior arrests, 9 felonies. Gun charge last year. He's back on the street. 31 years old. He leaves behind a wife and an infant son. And it really hit home. He's a Long Island guy. Massapequa. It's 10 minutes away. And I was like sick over this all week. I really was, because it was such a senseless thing that didn't have to happen. And you're seeing about it all week in the papers and the news. They had the services over the weekend. And that's one of the things I really love about Long Island and like living here is the community and how they band together. And you should have seen the turnout that they had. And, you know, he'll never be forgotten. And his wife, he's a hero. I think anybody who puts a police officer's uniform on is a hero to me. Now, listen, I know that they're like any other, there's bad cops, there's bad teachers, there's bad, but like in general, you choose to protect the people, and that's your line of work you're going in. You're a hero to me. I have friends and family in law enforcement, and this is your worst nightmare. And just, I was watching the news coverage of it, and they had his wife spoke at the service, and I don't know these people. I've never met them. She to me is a rock. She got up there and spoke. It was very beautiful, heartfelt. She held it together. I mean, I can't get through talking about things on here sometimes without breaking down. And she's talking at her husband's funeral, and she's holding it together. And she was a rock for her family, a rock for her son. And, you know, my heart breaks for this family. It really does. You know, this kid now has got to grow up without a father because there's a piece of garbage on the street that shouldn't have been there. It's senseless. It really is. There's no other way to put it. This guy shouldn't have been on the street. And I'm not getting political. I'm just saying. It's in New York, especially in the city, they let these criminals back out. It's things got to change. You're putting the people that you're hiring to protect you in harm's way. That's not a good thing. I haven't been to the city besides dropping people off in rideshare. I haven't been to the city before COVID. It sucks there. I don't want to go. I hear horror stories. You know, just my boss was there in Penn Station over the weekend. So there's homeless people begging for money. Just, you know, drug addicts everywhere in Penn Station. Who wants to be around that? I'm not going to get into the whole thing because it's going to get political, and that's not what this podcast is about. I just wanted to come on here, and I wanted to send my condolences to the Diller family. And, you know, you guys have been in my thoughts and prayers all week. Not that it matters, but, you know, Long Island sticks together. Long Island, you know, we're a tight-knit community. And when this kind of thing happens, it's there's no words really to describe it because it just sucks and shouldn't have happened. But the outpouring of emotion and generosity has been, I can't even believe it. You know, Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports made up a t-shirt for the cops, and he matched the sales. So I think it was like over $700,000. He matched it. The Diller family's getting 1.5 million. Tunnels to Towers paid their mortgage. Somebody donated it. The rumor is, you say his name, Donnie T donated the money. That's all I'm saying. And paid that mortgage off. Also showed up at the wake. Governor Hochul and Mayor Adams also showed up at the wake, and the family ripped both of them a new one because of the laws that are in place. And again, I don't want to talk, you know, I don't want to get political, but it just shows you that people are fed up. And it doesn't matter what side of the line you're on. It should outrage you. That could be, that's just a cop. It could be anybody. Could be a citizen that gets gunned down. It could be, you know, it could be any of us. So just, you know, keep that in mind. And if you don't like me now because I said that, whatever. I don't care anymore. I really don't. I could say a lot more about this subject, but I'm not going to. I'm just saying it's something that didn't have to happen. And I'm just sad. And I was sick all week over it. I really was. And if you follow me on Instagram, I posted a bunch about it because I wish there was something more that I could do. So I have a microphone. I could spread awareness about it and I could, you know, just keep his name out there. And it's a shame. It really is. Guy lost his life, didn't have to lose it. There's going to be a kid growing up without a father now. And, you know, hopefully things change. But again, the way Long Island came together, I'm proud to be from here and live here in this community. Because we got each other's backs. Yeah, there's really nothing more to say about that. I don't know. This has been episode 320 of the Keep Moving Forward podcast. As always, available at anchor.fm/KMF podcast. Also available on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Check it out and 5-star rate and review. We are played in and out each week by Hollow and their single Something to Believe. My best friend Nick wrote this song. Check it out. iTunes. You can also get it on iTunes. I don't know why I'm going to say something else, but it's iTunes. Check out his new band, Demon Scar. That you can get everywhere. iTunes, Spotify, demonscar.bandcamp.com. Only one place to go for your deli needs. That's Finn's Deli, 4646 Merrick Road in Massapequa. Tell my brother Mike you heard the plug on the show and then get yourself an Uncle Cheese, the best sandwich out there. Not because it's named after me, because it really is that good. Finn'sDeli.com. Thank you to everybody who joined us on your podcast listening devices. This has been episode 320. Have an awesome week. I'll talk to you later.